Hello, this is Chaz from Quiet Speculation, and you're listening to the QS Cast. If you're a QS subscriber, you're hearing this as soon as it gets published. If you're not a subscriber, you had to wait a few days. If you want to listen to the podcast as soon as it's published, or you just want to know more about Quiet Speculation, go to quietspeculation.com/tour and check out everything we have to offer. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the QS Cast. We are rejoining you, so thanks for joining us last week. We have another, a returning guest. Kelly is joining us back on the cast, the owner of Quiet Speculation and the Ion Scanner. What's up, Kelly?
What's up, guys? I am back.
He's back. He's joining us again. Tarkan as well. What's up, Tarkan?
What's going on, everybody?
What's going on? So a few things that we want to cover this week. Some news has happened since the last time we talked. We have a little bit of information about Amonkhet. It's back to a regular cast. I hope everyone enjoyed Kelly being on last week talking about the topics that we talked about and his very compelling arguments about Standard and just everything that we discussed. So this week we're trying to structure it the same way that we normally do, talking about interests and then going on to a few topics and then wrapping things up. So let's just first talk about briefly the interest cards that have declined or increased since last week. So Tarkan, there were a few cards. We're going to get into this a little bit. Kelly as well, I'm sure you've noticed this as reactionary to the Amonkhet news. And mostly it was focused around the fact that cycling is returning in this set. So that led to a considerable increase in two cards in particular. This is Fluctuator from Urza's Saga and Living End from Time Spiral. So Living End kind of always been a thing in modern to varying success, but, you know, this only can help its prospect of, you know, entering back into a, you know, being a contender in modern. I know for sure that I talked about this on the Discord channel for insiders, and, you know, as soon as I woke up, it just happened to be that day, I woke up really early and noticed there were some leaked photos before everything became official over on Reddit. There was some leaked stuff, and I just kind of tweeted right away that there was already at that point some buzz about Living End, and then, you know, a few hours later, the craze began as, you know, Wizards confirmed the cards in question. So what do you think about that in particular and just other interests that we're going to talk about?
Yeah, you know, I think that Living End was probably primed to jump at some point and this sort of accelerated that. I think that Fluctuator is it was the other one that jumped, and I think that that might be there might be some hasty movement on that. I'm not sure that that's going to end up being such a thing. However, unfortunately, with something as old as Fluctuator, you know, from Saga,
is it on the reserved list?
It is not on the reserved list.
But they're going to reprint. They'll probably reprint it in some box set one day.
Yeah. Well, I highly doubt Fluctuator. Well, something like Fluctuator. It's interesting because if they're bringing cycling back with this set, then it's not impossible that Fluctuator actually comes sooner than later. But for short term, you know, something like Fluctuator that's that old, a price hike like this, a spike, it's not going to be the same price that it was. But I don't think the 19, I think it got as high as $25, and now I think it's dropped to about $19. I don't think it's gonna last long. I think you should be selling in the hype if you have these. I guess Fluctuator maybe on, you know, now with this buyout dropping down to maybe about $12, $12 to $15 from here, possibly even lower, but this $20 price point I don't think is going to hold. Living End, however, you know, that's a deck in modern, that's a real thing. When something has a potential from a new set and a new ability or a returning ability to improve, then yeah, I mean, I think the Living End is now perennially going to be, you know, $14, $15 plus.
Yeah, I was a little less optimistic about Fluctuator, but just to be transparent, I did grab a few not once I knew, you know, people were talking about it, and people were buying in at the new, you know, crazy price spike. I mean, I'll bet very quickly. It wasn't, I think stocks had it up at like $25 or something like that. I don't think people were actually buying at that, but they were buying at like the $8 to $10 range. I've seen other sets other than mine going for like $50 on eBay. I sold a set for $35 and, you know, thought that was pretty solid. So they were selling, there was interest there. And in terms of Living End, I mean, that was pretty easy. I also took my own advice early that morning and bought a couple sets, and those easily sold, you know, by the end of the day. I mean, it was only a few hours that they were on there that they sold. So yeah, there was a lot of interest, at least in those two cards. But, you know, this is something that we talk about, Tarkan, just stuff based on just purely hype. And sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. This just happened to be one of those times that people are just, they don't want to be left, you know, on the sideline. And, you know, the hype really did just kind of, you know, lead to these purchases, and people were buying at the new price.
Yeah.
Or somewhere near the new price.
Yeah. I actually want to revisit something that we touched on last week. And Kelly, maybe you can provide some additional perspective here. we talked about Modern Masters 2017, and, you know, I was waiting for the floor. I think we all agreed that we hadn't reached the floor yet. I'm still of the opinion that we haven't reached the floor. However, we are seeing some interesting things going on with price increases. Also, apparently what I'm hearing is that there's plenty of sealed product available. Wizards Direct did not sell through last week as they had expected. They offered 20 more, I think it was 20 additional boxes to anyone that could get them through Wizard Direct, and they did not sell through entirely. However, with prices increasing on the singles, that suggests that maybe product is not, the rate of product being opened has dropped significantly. So we're in this weird place. I'm still of the opinion that we have a ways to go until we reach peak supply, because I still think even if we've got product, you know, there's a slowing down of product being opened, I still think due to what's in this set, it's just going to be open for months to come. But I wanted to see what you guys thought about this, because, you know, we're seeing the fetch lands kind of going up. I think a couple other things just a few things here and there that are going up in value. And I'm wondering what you guys kind of think about something like Stony Silence is going up and these things. So what do you guys think?
I think that there's no logical reason that those cards should really be worth more right now. There's basically unlimited supply, and there's no other facts that have changed to make those cards more useful or more desirable. If you're saying they're going up in value compared to some local minimum they hit from Modern Masters, that's one thing. But realistically, the reason Modern Masters isn't being opened like crazy is because their packs are extremely expensive.
Right.
There's going to be fewer people draft. Like, I can't justify drafting Modern Masters more than once. So that will naturally keep supply low. Now, if the singles get high in demand and the price equilibrium balances out, then dealers will start opening boxes for singles. But exactly, the demand for modern singles is just nowhere near as voracious and rabid as it is for standard, because modern being essentially a non-rotating forever format, you can always get those Goyfs later. So people aren't cracking packs rapidly in search of the next standard hot thing. All of that said, I think, Tarkan, what this means is your hypothesis that you and I have been discussing for the last 2 weeks is these Modern Masters commons and uncommons, which are like the cards like Path to Exile, like all the commons and uncommons are playable. A lot of them will hit a local minimum, and because they'll be priced as if the product was probably more abundant, the rares and mythics will suck up that sort of inflation. But right, the commons and uncommons will be much underexposed to the inflation, which means scooping them up is likely an even better idea than it was last week, because the perceived supply is probably pretty high. But if the overall supply is lower than expected, that well could dry up a lot deeper than most people are expecting. Tarkan, I think I doubled down on your call from last week, man.
Exactly. No, and I think this price action is indicating that exactly. We're seeing these rares and these mythics slightly going up, which suggests that, you know, yes, less, quote-unquote, less supply is being open. But again, I go back to the fetch lands. I mean, the fetch lands are the cornerstone of every single format. So regardless of what happens, you know, even if we start seeing some of these rares mythics continue to kind of tick up, those fetch lands are going to be in such demand that this product is just going to continue to be opened, which, as you just said, leaves the commons and uncommons in a really, really, really sweet spot. So yeah, I'm just once again reinforcing that I would be targeting commons and uncommons. I would really just kind of be staying away from any of the rares and mythics that, you know, as far as investment, I think the commons and uncommons are where you want to be putting your money. Chaz, what do you think?
Yeah, I always like the commons and uncommons. I think those likely got the brunt of the, you know, decreases of the overall set in terms of the overall price coming down on all the singles. Those kind of got hit the hardest. So those are, I think, the easiest to kind of recuperate, at least if it's a little bit. I don't think you can really make a mistake buying such a strong staple as like Inquisition or Kozilek at $1. And we even talked about that with, who was on? Avram. He was talking about the same thing. I mean, he was just as, optimistic about, you know, having piles of those cards and not really caring about a lot of the other cards. I've been doing like kind of just been keeping tabs on some of these cards. What it seems to me is the heavy staples are starting to kind of hit that mark of, you know, decreasing, and they're slightly, like, they're not increasing as much as I, you know, am expecting them to yet, but they are kind of stagnating at that new low price, that kind of bottomed out price. Now, this is like just the staples. I'm talking like some of the mythics, Death Shadow, I'm actually cluing in on because that's just kind of a recent, really hot commodity in Modern. Those will likely start to maybe not trend upward, but they're holding that new low. And I think, you know, if you find those deals, I mean, you're already buying at a considerable discount. And I think we talked about this, like, the first time we talked about Modern Masters 2017. Like, I went in on a couple of Damnations at 18 apiece, and, you know, that was a pretty good price already. I mean, I don't really think waiting for another couple bucks, I mean, really is that great of a move. If you're finding deals, I mean, I would jump on them already.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, I mean, you throw $1, you know, Inquisitions in my face and like $3, like, I'm not going to wait to see if they go down to 50 cents. That just doesn't seem, you know, that's just nonsensical to me. But
yeah, I don't think
I'm taking the $1. Yeah.
I don't think Inquisition will ever get to 50 cents. I mean, even a dollar might be ambitious. But again, you know, I think there's going to come a period over the next 60 to 90 days, maybe even 120 days, where, you know, there's an uptick in supply that people aren't realizing. As you said, I actually think there's going to be a perceived lack of supply, which I think is what's happening. I think with everybody seeing these prices going up, I think that that's leading people to believe that products being opened less and less, even though it's available. But what's going to happen is it's just going to continue to be opened slowly, and then you're going to see these commons and uncommons going down. So,
the factor here is that this is not like Modern Masters 2015, where you're going to get super burned on, you know, many of the boxes, and the variance is kind of really weird. You know, for every, I don't know, 20 boxes, you might get that real stinker box. But like Modern Masters 2015, I think was really a lot more swingy because you didn't have that cushion of value in the uncommon and common slot, and a lot of the rares actually. This is not the case for this set, and I think, you know, that extra product that is lying around will get open, unlike Modern Masters 2015, where no one even wanted to take the risk. So there's still time for deals to be had. I mean, I'm not pulling the trigger on, you know, the panic button yet. I am looking forward to Amonkhet. You know, there's opportunity to be there, but, you know, I'm keeping tabs on Modern Masters 2017, and I don't think, you know, a couple weeks out we can already say, like, you know, the panic, like, buying should happen because everything's increasing. I just don't think that's the case.
Exactly. And speaking of Amonkhet, obviously we did get the new Masterpiece series. Those are interesting to say the least. It's caused quite a bunch of a lot of opinions in the community as far as how they're being received. So far, there's been somewhat of a sense of distaste towards them. If that continues, it's quite possible that the values of those are lower than previous masterpieces, in which case I think the ceilings for the mythics in Amonkhet could be higher than normal. So, we don't have a lot to base off. Not much information regarding Amonkhet's been released yet. Obviously, we've got more coming down the road, but just something to keep in mind that should these masterpieces not be as popular as others, then we might see a higher ceiling.
So let me jump
in talking about
and say that.
Go ahead.
Let me jump in right here and say that this isn't the question of whether or not you like the masterpieces. It's a question of the number of people who don't. We'll leave aside personal opinions. We all have our own, but opinions aren't facts. The fact is that a higher number of people than normal, as compared to expeditions and masterpieces, more of those people are using more harsh, unfavorable language to describe them. The immediate reaction was for people to say, I could do a better mock-up in 10 minutes in Photoshop than posting that mock-up and people going, hey, you know, that's actually pretty good. That didn't happen with the previous two iterations of the masterpieces. So what we're saying here is, whether you like them or not, understand that there are a lot of people that hate these more than they hated the previous ones, because the previous ones were very good. These are very polarizing, and because they're polarizing, I think you're going to lose a lot of people who are otherwise going to be cracking boxes and doing things like that. They'll be like, well, you know, I don't really want these weird looking magic cards, so I'll pass.
Yeah, and I do think that carries implications for the mythics, which is important, just to note. But you know, we don't need to go too much into detail on Amonkhet. Obviously, that's coming down the road, and we'll be talking about that in future casts as we get closer to release and we see more spoilers. Some of the things on interests that I wanted to point out. Where was it here? One second. Here we go. Venser's Journal, which is a card from Commander 2016. And I just use this as an example. I actually really like this pick. This is one of my picks this week, is Venser's Journal. But Commander 2016, from what I've been told or what I've heard from vendors, is that it's no longer available. So cards like Venser's Journal and some of the commanders and such are definitely ones to look out for. The supply on this product obviously was quite low compared to others. So you definitely want to be paying attention to these Commander 2016 cards. You probably want to be looking to acquire them sooner than later. I like something like Venser's Journal because it's cheap. It has a very, very casual, friendly, and EDH-friendly effect. And it's at a price point that I think is attractive. I can see this being a $5 card down the road. But Commander 2016, you definitely want to be looking at, and as far as I know, it is not available, or there's very, very small quantities of it available in the marketplace. So you really want to be checking for Commander 2016 singles.
So we were talking about the invocations during interest because they're interesting, right?
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, as far in terms of what increase, we kind of saw that already. Living End and Fluctuator. I'm staying away from. Not really staying away from them, but, you know, keeping tabs on Modern Masters 2017. I've been still looking at some cards. I know we discussed this, what was it, Tarkan? Like a couple weeks ago now, maybe. We talked about the specific commander staples, like the from the actual box sets. I know you were talking about 2016 recently and, you know, as fallout to all that supply debacle.
Right.
I don't know. Now, it was brought up to us, and I gave the insider props when I posted it, about the Commander anthologies that are coming out this summer. I do – now, looking – they made the dual deck anthologies, so now they're going to make the Commander ones. They don't really, you know, hinder the growth on some of these, but they do kind of stunt them enough that they're not as appealing, if only very slightly less appealing as before. But I do think it's still good to watch some of these Commander 2015 cards, even if they're being reprinted with the the Commander anthology. So I've been looking at that too. But
2016,
you know, I have,
right?
No, even 2015, because I've seen a lot of them increase lately. Even Bastion Protector, that we talked about that a few weeks, you know, a while back. That's like kind of been increasing a little bit again.
Yep. Lightning Greaves has seen an uptick. Marin has seen an uptick. I think we mentioned Marin also. That was another one we were talking about, I believe.
Yeah. So it's like it's those specific cards that I'm not too worried about being held back by the anthologies. I think Marin is widely popular.
Yeah.
So that's not really going to hinder anything. I did see a couple. What was it? There was some reserve list stuff that was increasing. Oh. Like power artifacts over $100. We kind of saw this like months ago.
Oh yeah, you actually, yes, you had called power artifact literally, I think, before the, was it right around the new year or right after the new year?
Yeah, I said this is probably going to be over $100, you know, by the end of the year, or, you know, here soon. well, by the end of the year. I don't know if I said it before New Year's or after, so probably after.
And Goblin Wizard, which nobody, everyone was telling me that they didn't, well, actually, not everyone. Chaz, you were like, I don't like that card.
Yeah,
Goblin
I don't.
Still going up.
You know what? It's got a unique effect. It's a goblin. It's a tribal card. It's on the reserve list. It will continue to go up ad infinitum because casual players who want to play with goblins have another goblin empowering card, even though it's horrible. It's still it's got that cachet to it. People just are drawn to that card.
Wait, at the end of your turn, you put down a Krenko, and then you untap and you just drop like a massive amount of goblins. I'm telling you, man. I think there's definitely something.
That's a legitimate use of the card in something like Commander.
Yes.
I think that, again, it has a unique effect, and they're never going to reprint that card. So I think it's justified. It's still kind of horrible, but it does its thing, and it's one of the only things in the game that does what it does.
Yeah. There's another one, Preacher. That like just increased considerably lately, and that was from the dark.
Yep, that's the control magic ish. It like takes control of a creature.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah. And now I'm seeing Time Spiral again. I mean, that's always just a really good ubiquitous. I mean, I don't really think I need to make a case for Time Spiral, and I don't think anybody else is making a case for it either. It's just a great card. Always has been. Always will be. It's on the reserve list, so not really surprising.
You know, I gotta say, I as far as reserve list cards, I'm kind of revisiting Legends, particularly these cards that are around $5. Something like Nova Pentacle, which is, I mean, just kind of random. But when we're talking about reserve list cards to invest in, I think these ones that are sub $8 are really, particularly from Legends, I think are really good places to put money. I think those over the next year or so could easily see maybe not double ups, but they could see, you know, 50 to 70% increases.
Yeah. I wanted to, before I actually talk about, like, choose the couple cards that I'm looking at in terms of our I guess our picks. I hate that term, but our picks. What do you guys think? So I've been hearing reactionary stuff. We talked a little bit about everything before we move on to another subject and close out the interest segment. There's some talk about picking up certain cards from older sets in terms of standard that will interact well with Amon Khet. We saw some zombie stuff, so Crypt Breaker was brought up. We saw the interaction with Exert and these cards having vigilance, so Always Watching was brought up. I'm not in the camp of buying up, you know, BFZ and Shadow stuff like while they're out the door, but, you know, the case has been made that maybe they will increase enough that, you know, to make it, you know, an actionable purchase. I'm not personally into it, but, I mean, people are making the case for it, but I wouldn't recommend doing it. That's just me. I wanted to get your guys' thoughts.
I mean, I think that's stuff you pick up around, you know, post-rotation. I don't think there's any...
Always watching us?
I don't think there's any need to go into that stuff now. I think once that stuff rotates, then you can kind of move in on it. I think it's too close to rotation to be moving in on any of that stuff. Yeah. Did you have some other? You had some other picks, didn't you, Chaz?
Well, there's been one that I picked up a couple for myself for my EDH list only because they're really unique and it's on the reserve list. So you know, okay, all right, Tarkan, you're gonna get the best of me here. But there's one that I've been eyeing for quite some time. I bought them. I'm just using this as a preventative measure because again, the card's really unique. It's really good in Commander, and it does, you know, no other card does what it does in its color, and that's a Gate to Phyrexia. And, I mean, I think really the only argument I can make in terms of context is it's a really good casual card, and in black, there's nothing else but this card in that color that does what this card does, and it's on the reserve list.
Dude, that card is a great, great, great pick. It's... not only is it a unique effect in its color, they're never going to print another artifact kill spell in black. They got rid of that color wheel abuse in 1994. I think that would be a pick I would definitely be willing to second you on. It's a great card.
I took your thunder, didn't I, Tarkan?
No, not actually. My picks this week are incredibly boring.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah, okay. So... I've been doing a little bit of buy listing recently, and I've noticed some really interesting phenomenon. Maybe it's not super interesting, but the stuff from DTK and Fate Reforged seem to be gaining a little bit of traction, and I think it might be time to start revisiting those. Two casual cards, not very expensive. In fact, they're both just about around a dollar or under, is Assault Formation and Archfiend of Depravity. I thought Archfiend of Depravity was a straight bulk rare. I had no idea that it's 50, you can buy list it for 50 to 60 cents, which is crazy to me. And forgive me if to all the listeners that are, this is common sense to you. I just had no idea. Same thing with Assault Formation, which is upwards of 70 cents. I mean, I think cards like this are excellent in the casual circles and only have, you know, these are cards that could easily be, you know, $2 cards in the next, I would say, 6 months to a year. So I would definitely be paying attention. I've noticed that a lot of stuff from Dragons and Fate, I started to just see general, I mean, very small, but slight increases in buy lists. And so that makes me kind of curious to see what else is going on, possibly revisit these. So I had mentioned earlier that Commander 2016, my pick from that was Venser's Journal, as well as Archfiend of Depravity and Assault Formation. Kelly, did we lose
you? So Kelly, you're seconding the Gated Phyrexia, right?
I am, and I like the Assault Formation call a lot as well. It's been one of my bulk rare Magic Online specs, and it's the kind of card that just gets interest out of nowhere. So, yeah, Archfiend, I have no opinion on, but I think that if it's a good spec, it might be a good MTGO bulk spec as well.
Yep. Other than that, in terms of, there's been some modern increases. I can't say for a few of them now, in terms of, you know, some of them are now Amonkhet invocations, but Pact of Negation has been, I mean, just nonstop increasing since it wasn't included in Modern Masters 2017. I don't know how much the invocation is going to keep that down. Probably not much, but I don't think that's really a actionable purchase because it's already considerably expensive. Other than that, I don't really, I mean, Marin of Clan Nail Toth, again, with the Commander anthologies, I just don't think that's gonna be enough supply to keep this down. Unless they make a ton of them. I don't know how much they make of these. I really don't. If someone has a comment or wants to post on the Discord channel, I don't know if there's a huge amount of supply on these. Have you heard anything about those anthologies? I haven't really kept tabs on them. I'm just being honest.
I got nothing.
I haven't, but here's the thing. You know, if there's any subsection of cards that are resilient to these reprints, it's these Commander cards. And you know, I have to admit that I was reticent before from the casual, you know, from these EDH cards. And just the more and more I see these releases, and the more and more these, you know, all the cards from all previous iterations and all previous releases continue to go up. I mean, look, the EDH and Commander cards are just, they're just resilient to these reprints, and something like anthologies is just not going to be is not going to put enough of a dent in the supply to really make any kind of meaningful difference, I don't think. So yeah. I think you're perfectly on point, Chad.
Yeah. To wrap things up on this, just going back to the point you mentioned, Tarkan, because we have Amonkhet coming up and keeping the invocations out of it. How are you approaching this pre-order period? Because I know between you and I, we've talked it on the cast, we do, you know, target some pre-order stuff. We do, you know, some of that, not on a huge scale.
Yeah.
But I think the point that you made about the invocations, listen, whether you like it or not, I mean, even if a lot of people don't like them, they're going to retain some of the value in the set.
For sure.
That being said, you are right that could leave some wiggle room, some extra EV to be eaten up by the actual cards in the set. I like where you went with the actual, just the mythics, and, yep, and you know, I like the direction you were going there. How are you approaching this pre-order period, just like any other? Are you feeling that you might want to, you know, be a little bit more active because the invocations and there's just so much back and forth on those than you would have normally? You know, I know sometimes you're a little timid on that front.
Yeah, no, I've really changed my perspective. We talked about this a while ago, several casts ago. I'm all about the pre-order game now. I wasn't before, but it was clear that now that we talked about this, now that WotC has sort of made standard the promotional sort of format, and they're going to put cards in the set. We've said this multiple times. They're going to put cards in the set. They're going to be worth a lot of money that they're going to push for Pro Tours and that are going to spike. So those are going to be very, very obvious. We saw it with Heart of Kirin. We saw it with the classic Chaz call. What was the one? Thopter. So there are going to be cards that are blatantly pushed that are going to be underpriced at pre-orders and that are going to spike. There's going to be cards like Chandra from the recent Chandra Mythic that are going to be hype priced. So I'm looking for the Rishkars, I'm looking for the Baralls, and I will be buying those at pre-order. I wouldn't have said that 6 months ago, but now I feel confident in saying that these cards, you know, they're going to be very, very obvious, and there's going to be opportunity.
Well said. Moving on from that, so really what's been happening, because I think we focused a lot on the interest. We are kind of already about a half hour in. Is there anything that you wanted to bring up, either of you? Because I know we're trying to not go deep into the invocations that were just spoiled as of yesterday, but we did see some of the Amon Kett stuff that we can address, at least on the surface. We still don't have a lot of information, but we know at least
some
of the mechanics. All right, go ahead, Kelly.
Well, first, I don't think we know enough about Amon Kett to decide about to really speak to anything about it. But what we do know is that the full art basic lands are gorgeous. If you haven't seen them, go look them up while you're listening, if you can. I mean, don't crash your car on the way to work. Like, wait till you get to work. But like, if you're at a computer or a phone, totally look at them. They all have the Nicol Bolas horns silhouetted in the background, and they have really beautiful, intensely colored, bright artwork. So I saw them, and I was immediately thinking, wow, these are way better than the other full art lands they've printed lately. So my thinking is I'm probably going to buy at least 100 of each different art to have to put in all of my decks forever. I think that – I don't know if other people are reacting as strongly, but I think that they're going to look absolutely amazing in foils. That trope of those Nicol Bolas horns in the background of all the cards – is going to make the foils look really interesting. So if foils are available in supply at low prices, I would scoop them up. And especially because the masterpieces are so divisive, then we might not get the amount of rabid pack opening, which would decrease the number of foils on the market. I'm not going to say that it's the most incredibly sexy call. I'm not going to say it's going to make a ton of money. But I think that if you're the kind of person who likes to buy and hold cool things and cool magic cards, you could do worse than to buy every one of those lands you saw.
I think from a subjective perspective, I would agree with you. However, I would argue that you should wait to see what the response is, simply because there are so many full art options available on the market. There are thousands.
Well, you don't have
thousands
to decide.
Thousands. Well, no, but the
you
reason
you have to decide until after the set comes out, because I wouldn't be pre-ordering them. I'd simply be acquiring them opportunistically.
Sure, fair enough. I would say financial. I would say that's more of if you're inclined to get them, scoop them up. But I don't know how much financial upside there are to those. I mean, I'll eat my words in a year and a half or 2 years when those things are several bucks. But I just suspect that there's going to be a very low ceiling because there are just so many options for full arts. But I don't know. I mean, they look – I'll say this. You are 100% correct. They look amazing. They are probably the most unique thing since the OG Zendikar full arts, because they do have the Nicol Bolas horn. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's a very valid point. And that speaks to that also speaks to the point of the subjective nature of art and how art can influence card pricing, right? I mean, a Therese Nielsen art just instantly makes something worth more. Well, these full arts, if everyone just thinks they're the sweetest thing ever because the art's so cool, yeah, they're going to be worth more pretty much regardless of the supply to a certain extent. So yeah, I think that's a valid point.
Yeah, I'm excited for this set. I do think that the foil, I do think that the full art lands, rather, are pretty interesting. They're very unique in terms of, you know, I don't know if we've talked about them on the cast, actually, so I'm actually glad you brought them up, Kelly. I really like the continuity between them. For some people may not like the giant horns, the temple. I believe that's a temple on the actual plane. I love it. I think that it kind of represents a unique that these are unique to a certain plane and that they're unique to, you know, this set. As great as the Zendikar lands were, you know, you could have made the argument that they could just be like generically anywhere. I know there were some kind of art directional choices in some of the artwork that, you know, does point to Zendikar, but these, like, it, you can't argue that these are not from Amon Khet. So I do like that. In terms of everything else, I mean, I'm not going to go deep into the invocations. They are what they are. You know, some may like them, some may not. They're going to kind of eat up some of the EV in the set, regardless. But yeah, I do go back to, I think that was just a great point, Tarkan, that, you know, we're going to now look at Amon Khet, at least with a bit of a different take, that some of these rares and mythics do have a little bit more room to grow, in terms of, you know, how high they can actually increase, or how much they can actually increase, rather.
Yep.
So, I think good things are happening. So I, again, this is just one of those hype periods, right, Tarkan? We're getting into a new set. There's going to be opportunity. There's still Modern Masters to look after. And I think that actually the big takeaway that, and this is just, well, kind of just off topic from Magic, is that, I think the Insider Discord channel is really the place to be. There's really some great discussions happening there. A lot of the stuff happens like real time. It's a little more intuitive. You know, it's not like a forum where I think it's just a different kind of atmosphere. And I think a lot of people have really liked it. And, you know, it's just either me, another insider, you, Kelly, Tarkan, anyone from the staff. I mean, that could just be somewhere. It's just easy to put out like, hey, this could happen. And you put that out like I did at like 8 o'clock in the morning. And that's still like a few hours well ahead of the rest of the market. And you could have easily, you know, made back a year's worth of subscription, at least, you know, months and months worth of subscription, just, you know, and for yourself too. I mean, you could pay for your subscription and more with just, a tip like that early in the morning. So I think I really like the Discord channel. Everyone's actually been really great. They love these podcasts and I love to continue doing them. So hopefully we can get more of them. And actually we're going to have Tarkan. We have a really amazing lineup of guests coming up.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So, I kind of announced it on Twitter, but, next week we have Channel Fireball. Not only do we just have Channel Fireball, but we have, John Sasso, who is the CEO of Channel Fireball, and, Max yep. Scanlon, who everyone I'm sure knows from, from the site and Magic TV. And, that's going to be an amazing, amazing cast. You know, we had a fantastic, you know, we really, really, really are focusing on this, these vendor series. And, you know, we started big with Card Kingdom and we're just going to plow through. You know, we've got, we have Channel Fireball next week. Following week, we have ABU Games. Following week after that, we're revisiting Magic.Cards. We're going to be doing a written interview with Cool Stuff Inc. With Jerry Siskin, who is the CEO of Cool Stuff Inc. So there's just a ton of cool stuff with the cast that's happening, you know, over the next couple of months. And, you guys should absolutely be kind of tuning in and paying attention because it's going to be really sweet. So yeah, you guys definitely get ready for next week. It's going to be a good one.
People want just more of us, Tarkan. They want more of this cast. They want more of us. And we're trying to put out as much, content as possible in terms of, I mean, the vendor series is so, I mean, the information's so invaluable. It's so great to have them on and have their thoughts. People really have really enjoyed them. So we're going to keep doing them. Kelly, I know you've helped, facilitate a lot of that as well. So we really appreciate it. And so does, everyone else. I mean, I've heard nothing but good things from those, vendor series, when we have them on.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I love that kind of stuff. I'm glad you guys are doing the good work because I've met, I believe, all of these guys in person, if not the majority of them. And they're really intelligent, decent people. Yep. They're really knowledgeable, so, really know their stuff. They're good business people. They're ethical. And we're fortunate to be in an industry where the major players can be described in those words. So it's my pleasure to bring them to QS. They're our greatest customers. They're our greatest fans in a weird way.
Yep. All right, everyone. This is going to be the QS cast signing out. We will see you all next time.